Hello, I'm Nanadra.
Hi, I'm Abnam.
And we're two hearts in a pod.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Good, better, best. May I never
rest. May I never rest. Was that from Nursery?
It's from Nursery.
That sounds like a lot of pressure to give toddlers.
I mean, what were they thinking?
May I never rest until my good is better.
Good is better.
And my best.
Better, best.
You know what? Speaking of toddlers and things, I just remember that when I was in, I think it was daycare. I don't know if I remember this, but I remember it so clearly. When we were about to eat our lunch, then the caretakers, there was like two older ladies, well, not older, maybe probably early 20s at the time, but I wouldn't know. They seemed much older to me. They would say, okay, before we eat, you have to sing the song. And then we all go like, a la 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 li long, a la 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 li long, li long, long, long. I'm gonna push it there more. And I thought it was a children's song at the time. Only to grow up and hear the song, and I'm like, what were they having us sing before our lunch at daycare?
Bad for life.
Oh, why?
What? What?
Like, I'm sure somebody had listened to it that week and they thought it was funny to watch little children sing.
I don't, then they probably didn't understand it either.
Are you sure? They were not just taking the piss, like, let a little children sing a funny bad song, haha.
In Ghana, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Oh, like, wow.
I heard it on radio eventually, I was like, that can't be right.
No, but back in the day, parents were quite relaxed about
True.
I feel like adults were very relaxed about how children were raised. Yes, there were some strict ones, but I mean, even just think Oliver Twist, how children were treated in Britain.
Yeah.
They were working, you know? They were workers, chimney sweeps. The smaller you are, the better. They'll stuff you down the chimney.
Imagine that.
I feel like I need to watch Oliver Twist again. You know that I've been
You'll
so
be scared.
Done of it. And then he was so fruity, you know. Those white kids with blackface, unintended blackface.
Right? I wasn't unintended. It may have been very much intended.
Anyway.
Okay, all right. Back to in other bookish news. We went to the Peja Festival this past weekend.
Yeah.
How would you even describe Peja to somebody who doesn't know about it?
An African literary festival.
Peja, I think that literally means what, like spark a flame, spark a fire?
Yes, ignite a fire.
Start a fire. Ignite, that's the word. Ignite, yes.
Yeah. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, so the aim is basically that, and this was started by the Writers Project of Ghana, and this was their way of rekindling a lot of fiery terms, rekindling people's interest in literature in diverse forms, because there were panels about Afrofuturism, there were panels about, you know, comics, there were writing workshops, there were readings from different genres. Our friend Kobe did a reading from No One Dies Yet. We also did a reading of the Kiluwili Connection.
The capacities, you know,
as new
Ghanaian voices in fiction for our book, Kiluwili Connection. So we did a few readings, talked about our process, you know, as you do when you're a published author. And then our second, it was so fun. I really enjoyed talking about it. I think we take it for granted what we've done. Like, it's a big thing, but we kind of course comes easy-ish to us. We've not realized the magnitude of it. So hearing other people be mesmerized and have such big important questions, it was nice. Yeah, it was good conversation. I enjoyed it. We had another new Ghanaian writer on our panel, Kataru Yaya.
Yeah.
The writer of Home is a Silhouette.
Yeah.
Readings were also good. So good. Yeah.
Yes, and then we had MP Baye.
MP Baye, yes.
Yeah, reading from The Illegitimate Prince, which
I think we talked about last week.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good. It went by like it was a blur, like, and we met old friends, made new ones. And you know, I was just thinking to myself, it would be so nice, like, you know how with the Olympics or even international conferences, usually they have a lot of the attendees staying together in one place. Like, how fun would it be? Like, I can picture some people who would probably pull pranks on other people.
It was so fun. I think maybe write some project to think about it. And making it
that would be like fun. A whole festival, you know.
Kind of like they had in America, there's one that they had recently. There are quite a number, actually.
What do they call that one? Is it? It's not Drunken Man. Like they do it in the California desert. Am I right? Or Nevada?
There's one like that. There's one like that. And there's also one that recently many of my bookstagram had gone to. I forget what. Maybe so, but yeah, it was so cool. It's a thing that we all look forward to October every year. Let's go away
for like a week and you just haven. You immerse yourself in the books. Hey, like people won't sleep early.
Nope. It'll be so cool.
Yeah.
But it was cool all the same. We're talking about one of our favorite things to discuss. I'll give you one guess. Starts with row and ends with months. We talked about
Romanos was really good though.
I was surprised. I thought it would be just us three. We were on the panel with MP and Akiyoko was our moderator. And I thought it would be just us four with maybe one or two people. It was a full room.
Yeah. So I thought it would be only women.
But only women. There were men.
Yeah. That was
men who say they read romance.
That was so cool. And I mean, I remember like festivals past, I would leave with bags of books, but this time
I'm like barely resisted.
Barely, I was this close. No, not barely resisted. Let's go. Because Charlie, prices of books have gone up.
Gone up, Charlie.
So anyway, in a way, I thank God I'm in the ebook camp. So now if I love a book in the ebook format, then I've put it on the list of books that I will buy in hardback. In my library, like just to display. Yeah. So when we become famously rich authors, we are building our libraries.
Anyways, since we hang on, you go first.
No. I was going to hand over to you.
I was gonna say the romance, reading romance itself, which is something you've talked about on the podcast before. I like the conversation, you know, because it stopped being just about building a community, which we've done with our book clubs and with other authors, and just with women generally who also like to read, and it became also about how romance is perceived and has been accepted by people, and why some of the men don't read romance. And today, an article that I read, Nash had an article about, I guess, the history of book covers or something like that. I didn't finish reading it, but I liked
also
the
didn't
article.
Finish.
Yeah. And I think the author was talking about how she started out reading romance, but and even it even came up in the panel as well with our moderator, people saying that lots of people start out reading romance, but it's almost as if you think of it as a thing you outgrow.
Yes. Yes.
Like it's you know, like I'm playing with the toys enough, and I'm adults, I need to read soft help or something more serious, non-fiction or something like that. And how romance gets such a bad rap. But somehow, many people, women, I guess, find their way back to romance eventually. And this writer, actually, just like you, Abna, found her way back to romance during the pandemic. It tells you that romance has a positive effect on your mental health. Because when the world is crumbling around you, and you are able to escape into somebody else's love story, it somehow makes everything feel better.
Yeah.
And that's what she was saying, very, very similar to your story as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just found that very interesting. And that was part of the discussion we had on the panel about just the positive effects on your mental health that romance has. And I think maybe as romance writers as well, maybe it has like a heightened effect because now we're not just experiencing somebody else's world, we are creating these worlds ourselves.
Yes.
And just like falling further in love with them all. And I think one of the questions that came, that stood out to me was the fact that, so I think a man asked that, aren't we putting high expectations, aren't we filling our heads with overly high expectations of men with romance? And I don't think so. I don't think that women are not like it. They're not dumb. Just like if I read about a book boyfriend, I'm not going to expect him to exist in that exact format in the real world. But I think that it helps us to fix our standard and fix our boundaries. Like, I think it's what I like. I would also appreciate if the man I'm with had something of these qualities in them. I always say that for me, I always knew the kind of man I liked in my head, but I didn't start meeting that man until I was like 24. So I kind of just made do with the people around me for a while. Sorry, guys, if you're listening.
Put myself, break interruption.
Then I tend, like from 24, I started to meet those kinds of men. And even the men you read about in books, yes, they were not the exact, you know, epitome of book boyfriend, you know, tall, muscly, they lean in doorways and have 20 packs and things like that. But the characters, that the qualities that mattered to me, I started to realize that they exist in men. So that was my answer to the person who asked that these men exist.
Yes.
And the men exist in the pocket. The perfect packages that we're talking about. But women who are writing men are not necessarily entirely making them up. We're taking qualities that we have seen and would like more of, and I'm just putting them together.
It's not like
an unrealistic expectation of men that we're setting. They exist.
And most people agreed. I think it was a few I think, like you said, it was one of the men who attended who asked that question. But all the women who had read romance agreed that, no, they don't give unrealistic expectations to the men they meet in real life. But like you said, they do have an ideal. And, you know, this takes me back and maybe helps me understand why I never considered dating, like I never felt like I could take a relationship serious until I got to the university. I was not interested at all in dating anybody. I had crushes, but
yes,
you know, stay there, stay in my fantasy. I don't want you to come in. Don't even return the crush, you know. remain unattainable, and then I'll get over it and move on to crush on somebody else. But, and I think this also affected why YA love is so, like, I can't read it. I can't, you know, fully embrace it, because when I was that age, I was like, especially considering our context, where most of us went to boarding school for secondary school.
And single sex schools, for that matter.
Like, I remember when I was in SS, there were only two phone booths in the entire school. How am I now going to join a queue where seniors are cutting in at every point just so that I can call some fianga boy all the way in?
You're just not in love. Your mates were doing it. You hear somebody on the phone booth saying, I love you. And I'm just like, ma'am, I'm trying to call my mother to bring me Milo.
Exactly.
Can you get off the phone, please?
Can you get off? Like, your call is unnecessary. You people will break up by next term. Get off the phone so that those of us with actual needs can call our parents. So, like, yeah, I was never attracted to the idea of dating while I was in SS. And I guess that has translated into my reading. Because in the next week, you'll meet a finer guy. And then what are you going to do?
Yep.
So then
you move on to like them too.
So that was a really nice panel. It seemed like it ended so quick. People were enjoying it and, you know, fully contributing.
It did. Yeah. I felt like we could have gone on a little longer.
Yeah.
And talk about it properly. But I'm happy that panel even existed. That there was even a romance representation at all. Like, I think it's a big deal.
Yes. The beginning.
Yeah, because I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't think Pepeja has ever had a romance, like, kind of focus in the past.
I think usually that was a reading of a romance book. MP, this wasn't her first time. She's done
her first time
in the past. But yeah, it's always like just one slot or something. So this
was so cool to have. Yeah. And I think lots of people came in also, like, curious. Like,
yes.
Romance. Okay. Yes. What's this about?
It was so
I was
nice
very happy with the turnout. And it was so nice. I look forward to it becoming more pervasive and just more normalized.
Yeah. I'm hoping they'll put, I think they plan to put the videos, I don't know, if not on the website, then on their Instagram, and then we can share it with other people. And Apioko was she's such an amazing moderator.
She was so good.
Like, the way she moved the conversation, like, it was like a journey.
Just the way she needed it.
To a certain point, and it was so seamless. It was very nice. So, like, I now understood why MP suggested her.
Yeah, she's so good. And I found it even more exciting that she and her husband have a kikili willy love story on Legon campus.
Yay. We wrote real people's stories.
We did, Charlie. So cool. So yeah, that was our Peja experience for 2023. We signed lots of autographs, so, you know, check us out, being all publisher stuff.
Hey, and the books are finished, Charlie. We'll have to do a new pre-order form, I think.
Thanks to all those who pre-ordered, who've bought books so far, who've given us reviews in person or on Amazon or by WhatsApp. TikTok and everything, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks. Keep sharing it, and let's bring joy into the world by way of Kiliwili and romance.
In one package.
In one package.
So I want to talk about this trailer you shared with me.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, I can't wait for this movie to come out.
You know who saw it? I was outside. I was outside doing something, and then heard my husband laughing loudly. He's like, "No, you have to watch this. I've heard you and I'm not discussing this on the podcast before. You have to watch this." So he runs outside and comes to show it to me, and I was in stitches. That's when I shared it with you.
It's so right. It's so right.
Isa, oh my goodness. Like, Isa looks so serious. And then she starts reading her book. I'm like, what in the M Monique is going on?
Okay, so this is American fiction. We are talking about American fiction. It's a movie. I think it's coming out. Is it December this year that is coming out?
Yeah, I think so. Netflix, right?
It's already had 2.3 million views.
It's hilarious.
And it was posted just a day ago. I just saw that Amazon. So Amazon is everywhere. It's Amazon MGM Studios.
Oh, that means it'll probably be on Prime Video.
Yes. So, apparently it's based on a book called Erasure. Oh. Yes. And so,
okay.
Actually, Daisy sent me, somebody tweeted it, that do yourself a favor. Before enjoying
maybe we should read the book.
He's saying read the book itself. And I think the author's name is Percival Everett. And the title of the book is Erasure. And he said, you thank yourselves later, and we can then see if and where the differences between the book and this movie are.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the book is always better.
I mean, so now I'm wondering if I should wait.
I feel as if I would rather watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel as if I'd rather watch it. Especially if Percival isn't a black man. I mean, I'll take it if they're a man, but if they're not a black man.
I think he's black. Oh, let me just check. Let me check real quick.
yeah. Let us know if you are reading Erasure or not.
No, but you know what I told? So Dakwa also shared it with me. And I was like, watch my urban romance books become bestsellers after this movie.
I'm telling you.
Because everybody will be like, hey, we want books like this.
And I will say, if you like American fiction, you should read and you this. Make a list of all your books. Yes. That's so good. We need to have an entire episode about urban romance, juxtaposing it to movies like American fiction.
Yes.
You said it's not black enough. His books are not black enough. So he had to, if they wanted to put Michael B. Jordan in a durag on his book cover.
When the guy couldn't remember what he said. He had a scarf wrapped. What do you call that scarf wrapped around your head?
Is it a durag? I think it's going to be hilarious. I can't wait to watch it. I really hope that it does the book justice. But so far, the trailer is impressive.
Hey, okay, I can't tell, eh? I don't know if he's mixed. He's light skinned, but he looks
racially ambiguous.
You know, they have characters in movies, racially ambiguous character who can, like, it'll make you feel like, okay, there's representation, but you're not really sure.
Yeah, like, if you squint hard enough, they might be black and they might be representing you, but you're not too sure.
Let me see. Okay. You know, Google will always help you. So I'm searching, it's Percival Everett Black.
Black.
He's by looking African for his American. He's African American.
African. But clearly, there's a lot of, you know, yeah, he has probably has mixed family.
Yeah, because when you see him, he looks like he has Native American heritage as well. Yeah.
Interesting. I hope M. Monique makes some money out of this.
And I'm like, this is so perfect because you know M. Monique is a professor.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, you wouldn't expect a professor to be writing urban romance. But then, like I always say, African American vernacular English is a language in its own right.
In its own, yeah.
You know, so yeah, even L. Cason is also an academic.
L. Cason.
Remember.
Oh, yes. I think yes. so. But yes. are her yes. books yes. properly, like, do they speak that way? I didn't read the Demon's Dream.
You missed it. Better go back you guys. And try. No, I feel like you'll enjoy that one.
You think? Was it Black Mafia?
I mean, they don't say they're mafia, but then it's there, you know.
Mm-hmm. As long as they have well-paying jobs. They can afford like luxuries. I don't want them to be poor, you know, drug pushers.
The characters.
Yeah, they need to have people to afford luxuries.
Oh yeah, they're very wealthy. Just that demon okay. is dangerous. But for his woman. Oh,
yeah, what's a little danger in a man?
Yes, exactly.
Like we talked about, we allow fictional men to be, you know, all sorts of things. So we accept his danger.
Yes. Now I want to read it.
Wasn't that book a really long one?
It was, all, but people finished in 2 nights and then their eyes were burning. You know yourselves. I wonder.
I know, right?
To listen.
I know, right?
Marian and Co. I'm looking forward to
So we're looking forward to American Fiction.
And we'll consider reading it before watching. We'll think about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so apt.
Now, okay. So what we are reading.
Yams, what are you reading?
So, as you all know, I was reading The Illegitimate Prince. I still feel like I miss them a bit, you know. I feel like if I didn't have to read it for the panel, I would have taken my time. But in a way, too, I'm glad I had a time limit. So then,
otherwise, you wouldn't have finished fast.
I really loved those characters. I really did. So after that, I wasn't sure what to read. Because I've been more in the mood for slow burn.
But you know when slow burn, you need a slow burn.
You said who does
you know burn? Who can give you some you know where to go when you want your slow burn angst.
No.
I'm here for you, girl.
No. I flee from you.
After from Jaisa.
You tricked me with your friend saying that Scottish writer. Very McFarlane.
Look. She's a queen of beautiful slow burn. And Abna, you didn't give her a chance.
No, like it was.
So what I'm going to do is bring you another suggestion for Very McFarlane. We'll take this again.
Never gives up.
If you didn't like this very book, read it again. We'll take it again. You'll figure it out. You will learn to love her.
I'm tempted, but we'll see. Anyway, so like I told you, was it yesterday that I was like, I'd been feeling listless. I couldn't figure out what to read. Like I couldn't tell. And also, on to more serious topics. You all know what's going on in the world right now. In the Gaza Strip. It's just absolutely horrific how terrible human beings can be to their fellow human beings.
Yeah.
And like it I was feeling very helpless. I feel like it was adding to me feeling like I don't even know what to
do. The world is just crap. Yeah.
What can really take my mind off? But then you also feel guilty like that people losing their lives. Why do you want to take your mind off of it? And then in Ghana. But then
what purpose does it serve in the Volta League? Like, what purpose does it serve for you to, I guess, be sad about it?
Exactly.
I don't know.
from where I am, what I feel like I can do about that particular thing, what's going on in the Gaza Strip, is pray. So I have been praying for the people, praying for the mothers, the children, the families. But then for the Volta thing, there have been some, is it AccraMami.com? Yeah, now you use.
Yes, now you. I saw that you shared the blog yesterday.
Of how we can donate. And so, yeah, it would be really good if people donated to that cause, because people have lost their lives, they've lost their homes.
And there might be more coming up if what we are hearing is accurate, that the dam, they might need to keep spilling water out of the dam to avoid it getting broken.
So what are you doing about the people who are going to be affected by this? Like, you are just announcing it and you're not giving
that announce that they need to evacuate. And it's such it's things of privilege for you to announce to people living in these settlements they should evacuate and go where? Did you provide alternate accommodation for them? You don't know if they have family elsewhere, did they have the money to even move their things, just evacuate. And the fact that they didn't or couldn't and their homes have been destroyed is somehow on them. This is the only home they know. And you're not doing anything to resettle them.
So we'll keep them in our prayers. We'll do what we can from where we are.
Maybe we can share the links that Akamami shared in the description. So anybody that wants to help the victims of the Volta dam spillage.
Yeah. We'll do that. So I was feeling very down about all that, and then I remembered I hadn't finished reading the first book in the Ginika's Bridesmaid series. This one is about Ara. Sister who was the tomboy.
Yes. Whenever you say Ara, I think of jeans and t-shirts.
You haven't read this one, eh? Hey. Like when you enter Adesua's universe, you don't want to leave. I thank God she's so prolific. Like, I'm sure people wish their favorite authors were this prolific. Like, I think something bookish. Was it something bookish? She posted something about drop the name of your favorite author who hasn't published in ages. The way Chimamanda was
doing to harass them. She was to harass them. Me. Oh. Charlie, the writing is not easy. It's not easy.
It's not
like easy. Look at how we discovered today that the writer of the Mindfuck series had died 2 years ago. That story is so weird.
It's so unreal. So unreal.
People are probably in her comments saying, you need to write more books, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what she's going through in her personal life.
I feel like because people were looking forward to more of her books, that's even how they found this out. Because you go and Google, when is so-and-so?
Where is CMO's, yeah.
Or where is so-and-so? And then they found out this terrible news.
Oh, Charlie. Hey,
imagine if she hadn't finished that series.
Like, what you do? She's going.
But you know, there are instances where, like, Sydney Sheldon, they had people writing in his style. So I think in the 2000s, there were some books published under his name, but it wasn't him. It was people writing in his style.
Interesting. I wonder if I've read any of them. Do you know any of them? I love Sydney Sheldon back in JSS and SS.
Yeah,
I read so much
of
them.
Me too. I don't think I read any of them. That's what I'm reading now. And yesterday, I was tempted to stay up and read. I was actually in the morning. I have to take the kids to school, so let me close my eyes. So when I finished a particular chapter, I closed my Kindle fast and closed my eyes. It's really good.
It is, it is. And I've just also finished Anadesua. Oh, no, not just, I finished Anadesua's book clapping last week. And since then, I've read, so I finished the advanced reader copy of A Broken Kind of Love that she sent us. Which I enjoyed so much. I think I talked about it last week, and I've also posted a review on my bookstagram. So good. And then I read Wreck the Halls by Tessa Bailey.
Ah, you told me about it.
Yesterday and Sunday, yes. It was one of those really steamy books that are hiding behind a cartoon cover. But you know, Tessa's books are, I finished it, yes. I finished it maybe 2 days ago. And I was feeling your listlessness, like I couldn't find anything to read. And so I'm kind of in between books right now. I've started this book. What book was it? I saw a book on Instagram and I just wanted to go and try it. I forget what it's called because I'm yet to get into it properly. But it seems like there's hope. It seems like there's hope. And some friends to lovers books that everybody was very keen on, and it was in the same league as some books I've liked and some Emily Henry books and that I've liked. So I thought, okay, if they think it's like this book and I really loved it, maybe I should try it. So I'll check the titles, but it's very early days. Like I started this morning, I think. So we'll know soon. But I also started another book by Catherine Center. I love Catherine Center.
Yeah, you told me.
Except that
for some reason, I never thought she wrote romance.
Really?
Her covers never gave me that vibe.
Yeah, I think she's moving more into the new cartoon cover type thing with a man and a woman clearly on the cover. But she didn't, it used to be like those, like a flower.
Flowers, yeah.
Flowers and things like that. So her newest book is Hello Stranger. So I'm also trying that out. Except that it's single POV. And you know how I feel about single POVs. But I know Catherine is, she's good for it, you know. She'll give me a single POV, but she'll take me on a wild journey. So I might give her a chance.
You know, I haven't really taken the time to note. Adesua writes, she writes in the third person, eh?
Yes. But also from dual POVs in a sense.
Yes, yes, yes. Like
you which I like.
You get a shift in a way.
Yes, and that's how Tessa Bailey also writes. It's third person, but she's clearly talking from different people's perspectives at different times. And I like that so much. Like, that's my ideal. Love it so much. So I'll see how Catherine Center goes. I might maybe read something else in between her book and finishing her book, but I will finish her book because I'm a fan. And Abna, if you say you want slow burn, let me tell you, things be saved in a fire. Catherine Center.
I've heard a lot about that book. There's fire on the title, and it's the slowest burn.
Right? I see what you both did there. So good. Or How to Walk Away, also really good. And I think one of the characters is Scottish in How to Walk Away, if that tips the skills for you.
I think, you know, I'll go on my Libby app, see if I can find the audiobook and then listen to a snippet and see how I feel.
See how you feel. I think you'll enjoy them if you're looking for slow burn right now.
So actually, I wasn't sure what I was in the mood for. So I went to get, you know, I finished Lord of Population after a million years, but I loved it.
Oh my goodness.
Like Elizabeth Stevens.
You said.
She's a really amazing writer. Hey, shame on those publishers who didn't
take her book, yeah.
Anyway, so then I went to get taken to Voraxia again. I didn't finish.
I didn't finish. I remember now. Yeah.
And then taken to Nobu, taken to Sasol. And then I went to get Monster in the Oasis, which is book two in the Lord and the Population series. Immortal with Scars, which is the third one. I actually was hoping that Immortal with Scars would be next because there's a very intense description of the male main character. And get this, on the cover of that book, he's an alien, but they are humanoid. So he's black and he has locks. And he's supposed to be like thousands of years old, sort of. I was so intrigued. But I think I'll have to read Monster in the Oasis before I get to that, because a lot of stuff happens in the books.
But isn't the second book also still about Abel and Cain?
No. But because I read a lot of Population so long ago, I can't remember. But I think Monster in the Oasis is about a guy who was part of the bad gangs, but then he saved... Wasn't that girl who was able? I think he saved her life somehow. And then they found him on the verge of death. He kept saying they should let him die and said no. He saved her, so she has to save him. So he's pissed. Like in the beginning, he's very pissed because they saved his life and he didn't want them to save it.
Who sent you?
So yeah, that sounds interesting. And then I also have the Malomo High series lined up. A Complicated Kind of Love, Betrayed Kind of Love, and an Unlikely Kind of Love. So the arc she sent us is the next in the series, eh?
Yes, it's book 4.
Oh, okay. That's good.
The Malomo reunion, like the Malomo High, is really good. It's really good. At first, I thought I wouldn't enjoy, because you know I stay away from YA. So if it's young reunion of these people when they were young, I'm just like,
But yeah, I have a story about them being young or when they met later.
No, so I was thinking that that's what it was going to be when I started the first one, The Unlikely Kind of Love. So this is, I think, the 20-year reunion. It starts with the 20-year reunion and goes in from there. No, right? Perfect.
This one we had the IG live. She says she doesn't like when.
Yes. Well, that reminds me when you said the IG live. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you can finish your sentence.
I was going to say that we'll come back in a year's time and say, okay, people, we've published the
YA. No.
Now that I've said it, it will happen. Disregard
all of season 3. We're joking. We've written about 15-year-olds falling in love. Oh my gosh. Just remember the book she recommended to us on the IG live. Was it the rom-com?
Yes. She must have posted it on her page. She's like you, Papa. She's
a prolific reader. Reads.
Like you can be pressure. Oh, what is this?
Love it for us.
I need slow readers. I'm surrounded by fast readers. What is this?
That's what we are up to. I think that's it for me for today.
Yep. So, thanks, guys. Hey, and I think by the time this comes out, we would have announced the winners of our giveaway.
That is true. We are getting the winners on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And this comes out on Friday.
Mm.
So if you're listening to this, it's too late.
You're so mean. You're so mean.
What a break reference.
Tally. But we gave them time. We announced it last week.
You gave them time. Yes. You had almost an entire week. Yeah. Thanks to those who participated. I hope the winners are happy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be sending your things to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Spike.